Well, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Just one you're not going to believe the verse I'm going to preach on today. It's from Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in their midst. So it's quite appropriate that the title of my sermon is Encountering Jesus in the Sacraments, and hopefully it will make sense. Just give you a little update on the convocation. Was wonderful. I'd had enough of paradise, though. You know, two double beds in a small hotel room with three children there can be a little tight. So by the time Saturday rolled around, I think we were all ready to come home. And but a great time. Bishop is still down there. He was preaching at Fort Walton this morning. Father Craig was supposed to preach today, but I think he had an opportunity to spend an extra day. So, but there, you know, we Thursday night we had a real Holy Spirit sort of Eucharist, kind of based on kind of like, I guess it was our noonday maybe, or our very informal. But Bishop had given a word about a lady who had just been diagnosed with a breast cancer issue. She was to come up for healing. Of course, nobody raised her hand. You know, he stops in the middle of the Eucharist and says, you know, I feel that there's a lot of fear. This person does not want to come forward. They're really scared. And sure enough, later in that service, a lady had that issue and had actually come forward for prayer. And so, again, he was right on. If Bishop gives you a word, receive it. Again, I'm always amazed how accurate he is. Also, Aslan Roars has been updated. There's some new words out there. I'm sure there'll be new words this week. So again, I would just encourage you to take a look at that. You know, we talk a lot about the presence of Jesus. We all want the manifest presence of Jesus. And, you know, it's interesting. Very well-intentioned Christians will often tell you or say where Jesus is. You know, it's kind of, if you go to a really big church, and you know, you got the 7 a.m. service where everybody wears suits and ties, and it's usually the older crowd, and it's usually more traditional. And people who go to the 10 a.m. service say, "Well, Jesus is really not at the 7 a.m. service; he's at the 10 a.m. service because that's where all of us young people are. That's where things are a lot more relaxed, more casual. The Spirit's there." You'll have people who like pipe organ music and say, "Well, Jesus is only there in a traditional setting where pipe organ music is played." And then you got the electric guitar people who say, no, you got to have contemporary praise because Jesus can only operate in this day and age through electric guitars. Do you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, there's a conference, Jesus is at the airport Holiday Inn, pay $39, and you're going to meet Jesus there. And my point is not to argue whether he's there or not in any of those places. The point is here is to say that where we know for certainty where we encounter Jesus is in the sacraments. Now, he says a very interesting thing in Matthew 18, verse 20. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in their midst. Why does he say two or three? Why doesn't he say three or four? Why doesn't he say two or nine? Why doesn't he say one? I mean, can I walk around in my yard and talk to God and have God there? Well, I think what he's doing is he's alluding to us in his priestly office of the sacraments, because we have seven sacraments. Six of them require two people. One of them, matrimony, requires three. Think about that. I mean, it takes, whenever we have a baptism, you have the person being baptized, you have the person baptizing. Holy Communion, you have the priest officiating the service, you have somebody receiving Eucharist. Reconciliation, confession, we have somebody entering the confessional, confessing their sins, we have Jesus, really, who hears the confession, pronouncing absolution. Matrimony, of course, you have the two people coming together and in a sacramental marriage, the priest blessing the marriage and witnessing it. So again, two or three. The sacraments are not empty ritual, but manifestations of Christ present both in spirit and flesh. Again, we don't practice empty ritual. The sacraments are, if you think of the church as a fountain, think of it as a fountain of living grace, and there are three spigots coming out of it, three faucets, whatever you want to call it. Those are the channels of grace to equip us in the vocation of life. You know, see, people say, why do you baptize young children? Because there's a grace that happens in baptism. There's an equipping grace. There's a change on the soul of that child. That is the entrance into the church. That is Jesus Christ practicing his priestly office. You know, there are pictures of Jesus, and I always love these pictures. If you've ever seen, sometimes they'll be on holy cards, but you'll see Jesus in a chasuble and a stole, because Jesus still exercises his priestly office. He's working through the laity and he's working through the priest to exercise that office. It's the sacraments that empower us. That's where we meet Jesus. In communion, if you think about it, I don't hold up the host and say, this is Jesus' body, do I? I say, this is my body. Because it's really Jesus who's celebrating the Eucharist. It's really Jesus who we encounter. You know, when I think about baptism, you know, some of us, sometimes we get wind there's going to be a baptism in church, and we'll say, well, they do the baptism first, so we'll wait because worship comes after the baptism, because we know that Jesus is really not there in the baptism, not really showing up. But in reality, Jesus is there in the baptism, baptizing that child. Now, lay people can baptize, but you understand that it's Jesus who's the one who's exercising, where we're encountering him. And again, with certainty we know that in the sacraments, Jesus Christ is present there, working out his grace. The sacraments, there's seven of them. There's baptism, Holy Communion, confirmation, matrimony, reconciliation, holy orders, and then anointing of the sick. And so again, we meet Jesus in a real and tangible way. We meet him in the We've heard a lot about the Eucharist lately, haven't we? I mean, we've kind of heard that for quite a lot now. But we never think of encountering Jesus in baptism or encountering Jesus in confession. And I have to admit, you know, confession, I think, is probably for me the most, this is the hardest sacrament, the most uncomfortable, because, you know, it's one thing to confess to God, but it's another thing to meet Jesus in a real sacramental way. And again, have another human being tell you, hear your stuff. You know, I think probably the greatest hindrance to confession oftentimes can be pride. I mean, I don't like people to hear my stuff. I don't like people to hear my struggles, and I confess to Bishop. But again, there's a grace received in confession. You understand? We really do encounter Jesus when we come in the sacrament of confession and confess our sins. You know, why do we struggle sometimes in this modern age with things like anxiety and depression and all these sort of struggles? It's perhaps because we've neglected that sacrament, that grace of getting things off our chest, of confessing our sins, and again, receiving that. Again, I live under a new covenant. I live under a better covenant. And you think about, God was present in these sort of sacramental acts in the Old Testament. None of us would argue that. I'll give you an example. Noah. The church at that time consisted of eight people. Now, I'm always amazed at that. That, again, we think, thank goodness God is not a numbers guy, right? I mean, we really do. We think that if there is a great big stadium down the street that has 80,000 people and they've got this laser light show going on, that Jesus is there. Yet we have a hard time thinking that Jesus might be off in some obscure place baptizing somebody. Or that Jesus, we have a hard time believing that Jesus Christ would be present in hearing a confession of a single person. Again, so we can kind of get in that modern trap. Now, in Noah's time, again, you would think there would have been a focus group or some sort of, who would have sought the true God, right? I mean, but again, we find one person and his family. And his family really is sort of brought in on Noah's coattails. I mean, it says that Noah found favor before God. But during that time, Noah found grace with God. In the midst of the waters of the flood, God was with him. God was present in the midst of that flood with Noah, just like Jesus is present with us in the midst of a baptism. Does that make sense? That he's there, that he's truly there. And again, as a sacramental church or a charismatic church, and I love the fact that Bishop incorporates the charismatic. You know, one of the things we've been doing at Noonday is, you know, praying for the sick. Bishop will give prophetic words. Because we know that Jesus shows up in the sacrament of the Eucharist. And so what better way, what more appropriate time to have Jesus move and work than the Eucharist? But I would also add to that that Jesus is also moving and working in things like, I love to go to a wedding. I love to go to a sacramental marriage because I know Jesus is in the midst of that, operating His sacramental grace. People need grace in marriage. Absolutely. And Jesus is there. Again, we're two or three. Why three? Again, we have that sacrament of marriage. But again, back to Noah. Eight people. The church at that time consisted of eight people. Again, we fall into this trap of thinking the more there are, the more people. Or that church down the street, Jesus is there because they have 350 members. Yet we only have 50 on a given Sunday. But again, and again, I'm not arguing that Jesus is there. Not what I am arguing is that Jesus in the sacraments, regardless of how many people are with us, is there present exercising His priestly office. Think about Jesus' first miracle. Where does He perform His first miracle in the Bible? In the context of a marriage. In the midst of the sacrament of marriage. Jesus, I mean, He could have done His first miracle anywhere. But He chooses marriage to show His priestly office. And again, Jesus is carrying out that priesthood even more so today in His church. Every opportunity, every time there's a baptism, Jesus is there performing the baptism. Now, it may be you or me or somebody else doing the baptism, but Jesus is really there performing the baptism. That's why I would encourage you, next time you're here and you see a baptism, try to imagine Jesus doing the baptism rather than Bishop or myself or whoever it might be. Because that's really who it is. Just like in Eucharist. You know, a priest really doesn't celebrate Eucharist. It's really Jesus who does it. I mean, Jesus uses the priest. But the thinking has always been for the entire life of the church that it's really Jesus who stands up there and does the Eucharist. Likewise, with a marriage or when we can go to confession. Again, I know confession for some of you may be a stretch and it can be difficult to confess your sins to somebody else. But again, there really is a grace that's imparted there whenever we do that. You know, you think about in the book of James, and this throws people off sometimes, and I'll ask them. People will come to me and ask prayer for healing. And one of the things I'll say, I'd be more glad to pray for you. And I don't mean this in a smug way. I don't mean to put them on the spot. But I say, do you have anything you wish to confess? Why do I do that? If you read the book of James, it says, is there any sick among you? Let the elders of the church come. Let him confess his sin. They anoint him with oil and he'll be raised up. Again, there's a grace imparted. There is a supernatural benefit imparted when we do these things. Jesus just didn't give us things to take up our time or, well, the church is ancient, so it must be formal. No, these are real channels of power. You know, I think of confirmation. Confirmation is nothing but the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's really what that office is, because you have a bishop after somebody who's been baptized, usually at an age of understanding. The bishop will pray that they're empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the church did that to ensure that we really would be strengthened and filled again by the power of the Spirit. That's what confirmation is. Now, many of us, if we go to a charismatic meeting and somebody is up there and we'll say, okay, who wants to be filled with the Spirit? Who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And tons of people come forth. Yet we sort of balk and think, well, confirmation, again, is just some ritual. It's just something. But think about it. Think about you have somebody who's an apostolic bishop praying for somebody to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be strengthened, to be filled, to carry out the vocation that God has given them. In the book of Acts, let's look at Acts 2, chapter 41. So then those who received his word were baptized, and that day were added about 3,000 souls. That's incredible. Now, do you think Jesus was in the midst of that baptizing of 3,000 souls? It was the Lord who added to the church. I mean, St. Peter did the work, but it was Jesus who added. Jesus was still carrying out, bringing people into the church through that sacrament. Again, empowering them. Another thing I was thinking about was in Genesis 17, you don't have to go there, but God is present with Abraham in the midst of when he commands Abraham to be circumcised. That again, there's this sacramental act that's being asked of Abraham, and we see that God's presence is there with him. Let's look at John chapter 6. Let's look at verse 48, I'm sorry. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. So again, we see, and that's, you can't get beyond John chapter 6. You can't get past it and not believe in the Eucharist. It's very clear. Jesus is present. He says, I am this bread that comes down out of heaven. I'm in it. I'm there. I'm around it. I'm officiating it. And, you know, I always think it's interesting. I've said this before. There are people who leave Jesus when he tells them that. And he doesn't go after them. I always find that interesting. You know, I mean, Jesus loves us all, but why doesn't he go out? Why doesn't he go, wait a second, guys. Okay, I was kidding. I didn't mean exactly what I said. I meant that this is symbolic, or I meant that it was a hard saying. It was so out there. It was so radical for those people to accept. And, you know, Jesus, again, being truth, if he meant something else, he really was obligated to tell them, wasn't he? I mean, he really was. If there was any fogginess about it, Jesus, because he was God, really was obligated to clear things up. But he doesn't. Again, power. I need power in my life. I need grace. How do I get that grace? How do I get lasting grace? The sacraments. Worship music's great. Hearing a good word's great. You know, Bishop will talk about how, you know, we're so cerebral. We've delegated Christianity to a set of laws and morals, and that if I just follow them, everything will be okay. My life will end up okay. I'll live a long life. I'll be rich and happy and famous and all this other stuff. Well, that's not how life works. You can study the Bible 24 hours a day and still be encountered with trouble, heartache, situations you have no control over, infirmity, whatever it might be. Where do we receive the grace to go through these things? The sacraments. Particularly, Eucharist. And again, I would, you know, it's a very much neglected sacrament, but the sacrament of confession, reconciliation. It's incredible how therapeutic it can be for you. What a channel of grace when we come and we confess to God those things that burden us, those things that trouble us. Get it off our chest. Hear the words of Jesus Christ, I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's not a priest cannot forgive sins, you understand. Only God, like it said, only God can forgive sins. Only Jesus Christ can do that. That's what happens. Again, we meet Jesus there. I think about Mary and Joseph. You know, when they lose Jesus coming back from the temple in that caravan, where do they find him? They look all around and they find him in the temple in a religious setting. And what does he say to them? Didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? Well, Jesus' business in this present age we live in It's baptism. It's confirmation, filling with the Holy Spirit. It's matrimony. Jesus loves marriage. He wants every marriage to be blessed and full of grace. It's about anointing the sick, unction. That's His business. Hearing confessions. He does this because He loves us. You know, I think about, you know, Jesus really is, He's a God of love. And, you know, we think about our own earthly relationships, and our love is manifested through actions, isn't it? There's an exchange. You know, in that verse from Matthew 18, go back to it real quick. I know some of you probably think, oh goodness, Father Brent's preaching, Jesus can't possibly be here, but it's okay. We all have our callings, don't we? We all have our angle. It says again, I say to you, if that two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Have you ever noticed in the sacraments we ask questions? In baptism, if it's an adult, we ask, do you renounce certain things? Do you believe? Yes, I will. Again, we're agreeing on something. In the sacrament of confession, do you intend amendment of life? Do you intend to do what you can through the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome this sin or this temptation? When I was ordained for holy orders, there were certain questions asked to me. Will I do this? Will I do that? And I have to agree to that. Again, Jesus says, if you know, because we can get together and we can pray. And I mean, that's a wonderful thing. And we can agree on lots of things that may not be in God's will. You understand? I always know that the sacraments are in God's will, without a doubt. Well, what if it's a bad priest? What if he's a lousy priest? What if he just is a horrible preacher? Or what if his life is not exactly exemplary? It doesn't matter. Now, we want good holy priests, mind you. But again, Jesus is acting through those sacraments. He wants to dispense His grace. Can He do it in other ways? Of course. I mean, we receive God's grace. But there are, again, what I'm trying to say here is with absolute certainty, I know what Jesus' business is. Now, I may be praying that I open up a Christian skateboard shop or something like that. And that may or may not be God's will. I don't know. It may or may not be Jesus' business. I mean, sometimes we have a tendency, if we can just tag Christian onto something, that suddenly it becomes God's will and God's business. That's not the case. We know that. You know. But I do know that Jesus is in the business of baptizing people. He's in the business of converting. He's in the business of blessing marriages. He's in the business of forgiving sins and telling people through the sacrament of confession that they are forgiven. You know, a lot of people go through life thinking they're never forgiven. Isn't that horrible? Carry a burden around for 20 or 30. I've heard confessions of people who did things 40 years ago. It's amazing. I mean, for somebody to walk around for that many years with this burden on them. But again, that is the Father's business. To impart mercy and impart grace. To equip us. You know, life can be very, very difficult. And I need God's supernatural power. I'm just going to tell y'all, I don't listen to a lot of Christian music. I mean, I like classical type music. I like more of that kind of stuff. And you know, but I can't, praise music for me just doesn't do it. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't, you know, maybe something a little bit more kind of pipe organy-ish or whatever. But every time I come here and receiving Jesus in the Eucharist, I'm receiving the grace that I need. Do you understand? Every time, you know, and I do, you know, sometimes I'll get busy and I'll be free and I'll blow noonday Eucharist off and I've just missed an opportunity for supernatural grace. I have really crashed and burned because I need that encounter. I need that channel. I need that spigot turned on for me. you know, again, are Jesus at these other places? Is he with the people at the 7 a.m. crowd who wear suits and ties and all that? Of course. Is he with the rock band? Yeah, Jesus is there. But is he in the sacraments? Absolutely. No argument. Hands down, he's there. Anytime we have a baptism at this church, don't miss it. Doesn't matter if it's not a relative of yours, if it's not your child, come, because there is a supernatural grace that's imparted to that child or that adult when it happens. There's a marriage at our church, sacramental marriage, attend it. Because you're witnessing God's grace in action. You're witnessing Jesus Christ's priesthood here on earth. And if you get a chance and something's burdening you and you need to confess it, find one of us and encounter Jesus in the sacrament of reconciliation. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.